Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And we offer a blessing to all of our mothers that are with us this morning. And if you're not a mother, then Blessed Child's Day to you. That way we got everybody. A couple of prayer requests that are not listed in the bulletin. We want to pray for Jim Graw. He's drawing closer to death, and the family's requested prayer for him. Also, we pray for Pastor as he's traveling this weekend. He's attending the funeral of his cousin, Jerol, and then also a dear friend of his passed away on Thursday, I think he said, Trevor Johnson. And so we want to include them in our prayers this morning as well. And for those that are traveling and for all those who graduated this last weekend and those who will graduate, are there other prayer requests? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Okay. What was his first name? Arnold Miller. Is he still in the hospital, ma'am? Oh, okay. Well, thank God he got strong enough to come home. Thank you, ma'am. Any other prayer requests? Okay. As we gather around the word of our Lord this morning, we welcome all of our visitors as well as those of you who are regular. And for those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Jim Rivette, and I serve our church as the Synod and the District's Prison Ministry Coordinator. And so I'm grateful for this opportunity to be with you 2 weeks in a row. And so we pray that the Lord will bless our time together. With that in mind, then, we begin praising our Lord with the opening hymn number 474. Please rise as we follow the services as printed for us in our bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God, Father, and my King.
Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Let us confess our sins, confident of God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, for apostles and martyrs who have gone before us. And give us the opportunities to witness to you the way, the truth, and the life. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that you graciously call us your holy nation, your royal priesthood. We confess that in our life and conduct, we have too often reflected the world around us rather than our membership in the body of Christ. Forgive us and strengthen us to walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. We give thanks, O Holy Spirit, that you have worked faith in our hearts so that we may approach the throne of grace with every petition. Too often we seek to bend your will to ours. We trust you for our place and prepared for us in eternity, but also for that which is best for us today. Forgive us and open our hearts to receive your answers, which are always better than our prayers. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are his own people, thanks to the grace and mercy that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise we our risen our Savior, Lord, way, truth, and life in Easter song.
Assemble now.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O Jesus, and give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise we our risen Savior, Lord, way, truth, and life in Easter song. We continue with the
mercy.
To God on high.
We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee.
We are
us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
revealed your eternal love for all people. Grant that we may confidently ask whatever we need in his name, and also proclaim him as the way, the truth, and the life. Through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit.
Please be seated for the reading of God's holy word. The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 6 and 7. And here we hear the story of Stephen, one of the first deacons, who was martyred. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "Is it not right that we preaching the word of God to serve tables? Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against him.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." This is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. The epistle reading is from Peter, his first letter, the second chapter, and he identifies who we are. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tested that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
This text serves as the focus of our meditation this morning as we hear Jesus proclaiming who he is and what he has given to us. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please be seated as we sing the hymn of the day.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, I will do the works that I do, will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." You all believe Jesus' word? All right, very good. Next question. Tell me your greater works that you are doing. I'm sorry? You study the word? Spreading the word. How do you do that, young lady? And that's greater than what Jesus did. That's what it says. But that's a good start. Actually, you're on the right track. We do greater things. Now, notice Jesus doesn't ask us to die for the sins of the world, because you and I won't make it. We can't die for somebody else's sins. Now, we may lay our life down for another in love or in the spur of the moment or whatever it might be, but Jesus is inviting us to do greater things, to do great things, because he's going to the Father. He wants us to understand what it is that he is giving to you and I. Jesus starts our text off with those very familiar words that most of us have heard at least at one funeral from John chapter 14, usually 1-6. In fact, one of the members last night said, "Yeah, that's going to be my text for my funeral." I don't know if any of you have picked out your text yet, but plan ahead. Jesus says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." We have been prepared a place in heaven. It's a gift from our Lord. Nobody can take it away from you. Now, on Mother's Day, I know sometimes we think of, well, what can I give Mother now? Well, Jesus gave you the ultimate gift. Heaven, a place prepared for you. Have you ever thought about what Jesus might be doing for your room? In my house are many mansions. I'm preparing it for you. What will your room look like? What will be in your room that Jesus would put in there for you? Never thought of that one either, have you? Okay. Well, we got a retired principal here. What's he put in your room? What kind of joys? What would specifically be in that room that would identify you? Who knows? You know. I'm going to have your wife tell me. What would be in his room? Sport things, yeah. Basketballs. His grandchildren's pictures. You didn't make it, huh?
No.
No? Okay. What else would be in his room?
Lots of books.
Yeah. Yeah. My room's going to have lots of stuff in it. It'll have pictures of my wife and my children and my grandchildren, and maybe I'll get to see great-grandchildren. We'll see. You know, there'll be a great big cross in there. There'll be a whole bunch of sermons where Jesus has reviewed them and given me a grade. I don't want to even look. But he's prepared a place for me. And for you. And in fact, when you get to heaven, if you want to find my place, look for the Harley parked out front. Mothers, they work very hard to prepare the home and to love and nurture you and give you those things that they believe that they're called to do. And so we have that wonderful example in the office of motherhood. Christ says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and no one can take it away, and there's nothing you can do. You can't help me. Our Lord wants us to understand that He has done it all. You know, sometimes when we go to funerals or the visitation, you know, they'll be going by and they'll be viewing folks, you know, and they'll say, oh, look at him. Doesn't he look wonderful? Nah, he looks dead. And we'll put beautiful flowers around it so, you know, so that the people who are allergic will sneeze, okay? But we try to take some of the sting of death away. But our Lord says, I have prepared a place for you. And I'm going to take you there because there's nothing you can do because you're dead. You're incapacitated. So it doesn't matter if the people are saying, oh gosh, he was a wonderful guy. Or she did really wonderful work in the church and was always there when the doors were open. That won't get you into heaven. Jesus Christ gets you into heaven. It's like, it was like when the Lord blessed my wife and I with our second son. And bless his heart, that little guy could not go to sleep. So, you know, off to the car. Y'all know what happens here, huh? Especially you moms and dads, you know. We'd take him for a ride and till he'd finally go to sleep, you know, because he'd be crying so hard, bless his heart. You know, and it'd take $5 worth of gas. And in those days, that was a lot of gas. That was 10, 12 gallons. And then when we'd get home, we'd take him out. Sue or I would take him out and out of his little car seat there and take him into his bedroom and put him there. And the next morning he'd wake up. And we did that for quite a while because he had some troubles and to the point where he could talk. And he'd get up the next morning and say, how did I get here? Why, we put you there. That's what Christ does for you and I. When we die, he's going to pick us up and carry our spirit into heaven. And when we wake up, oh, look, I'm in my place. I can tell it's mine. He prepared it. What good news and joy for you and I. And we can know that because of what Christ has said. He talks about the authority that he has, that he has been given by the Father, and that we and that's why he can proclaim who he is, the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to me except for by the Father. By the way, that particular verse has a nice theological term to it. You know, when you spend all that money to go to the seminary, you might as well learn a few things. And this particular thing is called the scandal of particularity. And the reason it's called that is because it's a verse that is in controversy. There are a lot of people who believe and tell others, well, it really doesn't matter what you believe, just so you believe. Any of you ever heard anybody say that? Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim, you know, just so you believe, because God will take you. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Christ says. He is the way and the truth and the life. And that authority has been given to him through his death and his resurrection, and he gives it to you and I. In fact, in his resurrection's appearance, he says in John, all authority in heaven and earth has been given it to me, and I'm giving it to you, in Matthew 28. And then in John 20, he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. What authority God has given to him, he passes on to you and I. And you and I are invited to share that. That's what enables us to do greater things. Nothing greater than having someone you've offended and you've repented to hear them say to you, I forgive you. Amen? In our scripture reading this morning, from the first reading from Luke as he writes the book of Acts, he talks about the importance of what the apostles were doing, that they were teaching the word and sharing in the sacrament and about the Father's business. And because of that, they got so busy, the Hellenists, a group of Roman the Christians from the Gentile world, were upset because the widows and the orphans were being neglected. And so they went and chose some deacons. The Greek word there is diakonai, and it literally means servant. Mothers and fathers are deacons, diakonai. They serve the Lord as they nurture their children in His admonition and love and grace and mercy, and teach them the power of forgiveness. Stephen, though, boy, oh boy, they weren't too happy with him, were they? They didn't want to hear that word. And we still have that same problem going on today. But he's doing great things. And did you catch the similarity with Stephen and Jesus? When Stephen's getting stoned, he sees the heavens open up and he sees Christ sitting at the right hand. Second article stuff there. And then, just like Jesus, when he said from the cross, "Father, forgive them," what does Stephen say? "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Stephen had done a great thing. You and I do great things when we forgive others. You and I do great things when, as the sister said, we share our faith. When we pray for others, we've been called to be deacons. In fact, Peter gives us some interesting description of who we are. A holy nation. A royal priesthood. Woo! You thought I was the only one here who was a pastor. You all are priests too. You're called to do great things, to intercede for those who are in pain. That's why we have our prayer list. Perhaps we need to take more seriously the time we spend in prayer. Great things happen in prayer. God can hear our cries through our advocate, through the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. And when we get frustrated during the sermon, or after the sermon, when we're doing the prayer of the day, and pastor seems to go on and on and on. None of you have ever felt that, right? No? I guess we better do confession again. I just saw some folks sinning. That's one of the great things we can do. God has chosen us. He has chosen you. Congratulations, young lady. You were once just a nobody, but now you belong to Jesus. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? And especially guys with beards, he really likes them. Our Lord and Savior has made us His own. We belong to Him. We're His own possession. And He has made us holy. Holy in the holiness that began in our baptism. As the way and the truth and the life enlivened us with the fullness of His Holy Spirit to do great things. When we're baptizing a baby, do you think about, oh, I wonder what great things the Lord's going to do with this child? Isn't that what parents, mothers, and fathers wish for their children? That all will go well and they'll do great things. That they'll make a difference in the world. We Christians, we do great things. I think sometimes we get a little complacent. You know, these pews are pretty comfortable, aren't they? But that's not where we're supposed to stay. God equips us and feeds us and nurtures us with His word and sacrament, and then He sends us out into the world to be in mission, to be doing great things. I was reading a little article the other day, and I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but this professor says that in the Christian church worldwide, there are 100,000 people a day coming to Jesus Christ. Woo! Isn't that amazing? I mean, in the book of Acts, we hear that the church was being multiplied, and like in one day they baptized 3,000, but 100,000 a day? That's a great thing. Jesus, he was busy in his ministry before he went to the cross. He was healing people. The blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing, the mute were speaking, lepers were cleansed, the people were raised from the dead. And we're still doing great things today. There's hospitals that, I was in Portland here a few years ago visiting some family, and I was amazed at the number of hospitals that were like St. Matthew's and St. Luke's and Seventh-day Adventist and Good Samaritan, sort of like St. Louis too, huh, with St. Luke's. Think about all of the people that are being healed through the gift from our Lord and Savior with doctors and nurses and therapists and medicines. You and I have been equipped to continue to embrace God and to do those great things, to be a witness, to tell of His marvelous deeds. He has taken us from darkness into light. And we are His own people. It's tough to live in darkness, but boy, is it great living in the light, isn't it? And this the other day I was sharing this word with some guys at the prison Thursday, and I mentioned that now they were going to be a great light. And one of the inmates said, "Well, you know, Pastor," he said, "you know, they put new LED lights in our cells. Man, is it bright." He says, "Do you think I could be an LED?" I said, "You are an LED. Christ has enabled you to witness and to give, to share that light, to proclaim of His goodness, so that we can be part of that, those people who the Lord is using to bring 100,000 people into His church. When a congregation is suffering and in pain, it's easy to get lost and confused and lose sight of who you are and what you're about. Be about your Father's business. Jesus has revealed His way to you. He has given you the truth, and He has given you life. Pick up the cross and follow Him. Tell your stories. I've talked to some of you people. Man, we got some storytellers in this church. Tell your story of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus, how He has taken you from darkness into light. Oh, you all look so bright, you LEDs. And all of God's children said, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We can. Loving and gracious God, you have made us your own through the works of Jesus Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. Receive these first fruit offerings so that we may be about doing those great things you have called us to do through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all of God's children said, Amen. We confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. O risen Christ, you have prepared a place for us in your heavenly home. Draw us more deeply into yourself. Through water splashed, scripture read, bread broken, wine poured, so that when our hearts are troubled, we will know you more completely as the way, the truth, and the life. Almighty God, you sent your Son to be the way to heaven by his death and resurrection. Comfort and enliven us with Christ the truth in your word and sacraments, that we might rejoice in him, our life, and the great things that he has done for us in this place, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you honor the office of motherhood and make it as a symbol of your church, where your people are born in holy baptism and nursed with pure spiritual milk of your word. Receive our thanks this day for your gift of mothers. Bless them in their ongoing vocation of love, prayer, and sacrifices for their children of all ages, and grant that their labors might remind us of the new life you have given us through Christ and his bride, the church. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Son honored you and became obedient even to death on the cross. Hear our prayers on behalf of children and youth. Provide them good and godly homes where they might be trained in your ways, and give them thankful hearts that honor their fathers and mothers as your servants. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, bestow your grace on all the nations of the earth. Especially we beg you to bless our land and its inhabitants and all who are in authority, our president, Congress, the courts, law enforcement, and those who are first responders. We lift up, Lord, those women and men who are serving our nation in uniform and those that are deployed in harm's way, and particularly in the Middle East. And we remember Justin, Richard, Kevin, Rodney, Casey, Tim, Ethan, Bill, Andrew, Justin, John, Matt, Corey, Denny, and Zach. May they give witness to your mercy and truth as they do great things through your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, even as you make your Son known to us through your holy word, so you also make known much about your creation through discovery and education. Bless all educators and students entrusted to their care. Give them good things to speak, ears ready to hear and listen, wisdom to use that knowledge according to your will, and faith to trust you when answers remain in a mystery. We praise you, Lord, for those who are celebrating their graduations. May they see this as a step forward to continue to do great things through your Son, Jesus Christ. And bless all those who are traveling this weekend to celebrate the gift of mothers and graduations and other reasons. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you provided men of good repute to serve so that the apostles might devote themselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Bless all congregations with godly pastors. Bless our church with missionaries, evangelists, and chaplains, and lay leaders who are willing to shoulder burdens for the blessings of your people and the spreading of your word. I give you thanks, Lord, for this congregation and the great things you have done as they reach out into the community, as they give witness, as they tell their stories, as they bring their children to be baptized and confirmed and to be fed and nurtured at this altar. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, as you remember us in our living and our dying, remember all those who cry to you in need. And we especially lift up the family of Jim as he draws closer to death, and how grateful we are that you have prepared a place for him. Comfort and strengthen him and his family in the hope and the gift of life. We ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to comfort Pastor Bedard as the family has gathered together to bid farewell to his cousin Gerald and for his friend Trevor Johnson. Again, Lord, we ask that you would surround them with your mercies and grace, and use this congregation to encourage Pastor and one another in the place that you have prepared for us. We give you thanks, Lord, for Arnold, who has returned home from the hospital, and the continued grace you bestow upon him. Strengthen and deliver them all, Lord, as we remember those who are on our continuing prayer concerns list, and for the care center residents, and for those who are lost and straying and need to hear your word. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you have made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people of your own possession. Preserve your people in the one true faith, and grant that all who come into this church this day and in the days ahead may do so with repentant hearts, focused and believing that they are your chosen people to do great things through your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Most holy God, we give you thanks for all those whom you've called out of darkness into your marvelous light. We give thanks for all the saints whom you have gathered to yourself through the ages and continue to enlighten us by your grace until we join with them before your throne. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we bring all these concerns in the prayer that you have taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the prayer of thanksgiving on page 12 of our bulletin. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may give ourselves to your service in how we live. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing the closing hymn.